welcome. I'm Hamish and Mrs. Rachel, and we're the McDonald's. We've been married for 27 years, soon to be 28 years. And we've also recently turned 50, and we have three children. And as it's been mentioned already, they're teenagers. We have a girl of 18, another girl of 20, soon to be 21, and a son of 23. And we've been down in Plymouth for 10 years, but previous to that, we were teaching up in Nottingham, and also we lived up in Southport and have spent some time away in Honduras. And we do love to travel, and we love animals. We have two cats and a dog. And Rachel, tell us a bit more about us.
Okay, well, currently we are the youth pastors. We lead the youth team down here at Plymouth Christian Centre, and we've been doing that for 10 years. During that time, we've raised our children from being quite little to adults, really, and I don't know where the time has gone. We are also foster carers. We've been doing that for 17 years, and in recent years, we've really specialised in parent and child foster placements, which should come into our home. They could be one or two parents, or one child, or lots of children, and we work with those families. So it's a very busy household we live in, but we love it most of the time. And really, we just want to open a conversation today in this seminar. We do not have all the answers. We've had lots of experience, and some of that experience has been painful and mistakes. And so we are not here saying that we've got all the answers. We just want to open a conversation. We want to do things better. We're always looking at better ways of connecting with our families, with our parents. And it's something we are really looking at the moment within our youth ministry, how we better equip parents to disciple their children. So we hope it's going to be, we hope it will stimulate questions for your team as you go through some of our thoughts and experiences.
If we look at Matthew 28, we see the Great Commission. And it is important that actually, as youth workers and children's workers, we have a great responsibility to disciple our young people and children. But it's not just our job, it's also the parents' job, and it's the widest church responsibility as well. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." And also Deuteronomy 11, 18 to 19 says, "Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." So discipleship is important, and it's everyone's responsibility, but it does begin in the home. But as youth workers and children's workers, it is also a joint effort. We need to be supporting parents in this vital role. Parents have the greatest influence. They spend the most time and know their children the best. Discipleship isn't one size fits all. And we understand that some parents will be raising their children to know the word of God and doing everything we would really want them to be doing. But of course, there are other parents who might be new to the Christian faith and are in need of being discipled themselves. There are also many parents who feel they don't know enough and are not confident, and there may be parents who simply don't realise they have such a key role to play and think it's better to leave it to the youth worker or to the children's pastor. Every parent is different, but we want to encourage them, and we want to empower them to creatively and sensitively at every level to disciple their children. And the church as a whole has a key place to play in this. So Rachel, tell us a little bit more.
Well, I think it's been really interesting, hasn't it, in this pandemic situation. If you'd have asked parents a year ago and said you're going to be teaching your children, homeschooling your children whilst holding down a job, most parents wouldn't have believed it. But actually, that's what has happened. And suddenly, it's been very challenging, I think, for many parents, but many parents have risen to that challenge and actually discovered that they have had a better connection with their children, that they have managed to teach their children in the home. And it's really taken, it's shut down all our youth ministries, these big programs, and put everything right back in the home. And I think it's really focused our attention during this time on discipleship within the home. We salute you, parents, for doing all of this stuff during this time. It's been really tricky and really difficult, but it has shown us that teaching and discipling has been thrust and put the focus right back in the home. And really, when we look biblically, that's where discipleship and teaching our children in the ways of the Lord should be. So it's really important. We found that as we've been looking at our youth ministry and how we connect with young people, that we have to do this better, that we have to empower and equip parents to be able to teach their children within the home again.
What is discipleship? Well, discipleship is simply the process or the journey of someone becoming more like Christ. It's being a Christ follower. And as youth and children's worker, we need to consider our context. If we're working mainly with unchurched families, it will be slightly different. But today, we're focusing really at looking at church families and encouraging Christian parents to disciple their children. We want to support families, and we want to give a little bit of insight of some of the ways we've tried to support families over the years and how we ourselves have felt supported.
We cannot disciple without any kind of connection. Discipleship always works in the context of relationship. It always does. There's a really great phrase that we get taught as foster carers, and it's one that I've really tried to hang on to with my own children in moments of frustration. It's connection before correction. We cannot really speak into people's lives before we have got a connection. It's all about building relationships, and it's so vitally important to build relationships with parents in our youth ministries. I remember as a young teacher that I felt very comfortable in the classroom. But when parents' evening came, I felt totally overwhelmed. I was like, oh, what can I say to parents? They're older than me. They know what they're doing more than me. And it felt very overwhelming. So if you're perhaps a young youth leader that is all geared up towards discipling young people and trained for working with that age group, or a children's worker trained for working that with that age group, this seminar's for you. We do not work only with the young people and the children. Working with parents and helping them is a vital part of youth and children's ministry. And if we can factor that in and put that in early on in our time as youth workers, it will save you from many of the pitfalls that we have fallen into over the years.
Well, here are some of the ways we will help to develop connections with parents. And I've taken the word parents, and it's got seven letters in it, and I've given a descriptive word to each one. So I'm going to begin with P. And I think for us to be really connecting with parents, we need to start by following some basic principles. And that principle is we want to be in partnership with parents. Yeah. We are not lone rangers. As youth and children workers, we should not be trying to do it all on our own. We are team players, and part of that team are the parents. The youth and children's leader, we do not have all the answers. Nor should we think that we do. We are all on the same side. We're on the same sides as the parents. We want to champion these children and these young people to know Christ in a better way. So let us look at ways we can work together with the parents and help support them. So P is for partnership. And that takes us to A, for make yourself available.
Yeah, so let's think about in our programmes, in everything we do, how do we make ourselves available to parents? I know Hamish is very good at this. At the end of our youth programmes, even if there's stuff to do up here, he will always be out on the doors, saying hi to parents, making just some time and some space to be available, to build relationships with parents, to ask how they're doing. It's a space that parents can chat to us freely. Being the last ones out at church, our kids hate it, but you know, it's really important to be available for people to be able to chat. It's a window of time that we can chat. So that's how we can be available. So I would really encourage you, find ways in everything we do in youth and children's ministry to put windows of opportunity to make yourself available for parents and those connections.
R is for respect. I feel that to build a good partnership, we need to be respectful to the other side. As I said, it's not an us and them. Parents are on the same side as we are. And we need to be respectful to our parents. We need to make sure we do not undermine our parents in front of young people or children. We should always be there to build them up and not pull them down. I understand, and certainly after many years, we do not always see eye to eye on issues. We see things differently from sometimes, but we need to be respectful to our parents. We need to be building them up. So try to understand a parent's perspective sometimes. I know as a young teacher, as Rachel was saying earlier, actually, when you're a young youth worker or children's worker and you don't have your own children, you don't always see things as a parent will see. So be mindful of how a parent might think and feel. And that's particularly when it comes to things like finances, when you're planning trips, or even time management when you're trying to do something extra with the young people and children. We have to be mindful of and respectful of the parents we're working with. And that takes us on to E for encouragement.
Yeah, we should be encouragers, shouldn't we? We want to find every opportunity to encourage our young people. You know, when I see a young person doing something, it might be just a little something, being kind to somebody else or thinking about someone else, I always make space to encourage them, to catch them being good. But let's extend that to parents and say, we saw your child do that. We were really proud of them. You're doing a great job, mum and dad. Let's find ways to honour parents, to encourage them. It makes a world of difference when someone pats you on the back. So let's be people who champion parents and encourage them. The tiniest little thing, we love seeing that about your child. Or we love the way you make an effort, single parent, to get to church. We think that's amazing. Really champion our parents and encourage them as much as you can.
N is for non-judgmental. We need to make sure we have a non-judgmental attitude, especially when we're working with such a variety of different families in societies today. The single families, blended families, adoptive, foster family, the list is endless. But we need to be careful that we do not become judgmental towards our parents. There's nothing worse than criticising how a parent might do something. And that really will destroy bridges rather than build bridges of relationship. So try not to be judgmental towards parents. Think about how they might be feeling and be willing to be gracious towards them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and T is for time together. Often with church programming, we can separate the family, and we want to celebrate the family. We want to make opportunities to make fun times together, to make memories together. So wherever we can, involve parents in that for those fun and memory making. I know we did a treasure hunt some years ago, and it wasn't just for the young people, it was for the family as well. So make ways of doing some things together, time together. In our programming, be really mindful of that too.
And finally, in parents, we end with S, and we've put share the load. We know parenting, as being parents ourselves, we know parenting is not an easy task. It can be hard work. So actually, as youth workers and children's workers, to work in partnership with parents, be there to share the load. Be empathetic towards parents. Be sympathetic towards them when they're going through difficult times. And when it's talking about sharing the load, we're talking about actually when times are tough, be there for parents, but also celebrate the successes as well. It's about doing things together. So celebrate the good times, but also be there for the hard times as well. So share the load. It's our job in partnership to share this journey with parents.
So how do we practically help our parents disciple their children better? So there's a great quote that I've been really thinking about in lockdown, reading a great book by Duffy Robbins, and it says, spiritual growth does not come through programs, but comes through people. It's all about relationships, connection, and that doesn't mean to say our programs are wrong. Programs are very much needed. We need the structure around that. We need places for kids to go. Not saying programming is wrong, but what I think we can do at times is very subtly give a message to parents that's the youth pastor or the children's pastor's job to do. And we can very subtly undermine a parent's confidence of doing it themselves. And perhaps they think that they would rather leave it to the professionals, as it were. Not that it should be like that, but I think we've got to be very, very careful with all of our programming that we think about how we can connect with parents as well. It isn't just about what we do in an hour or a 2 hour session. So how do we support them?
Using the parents word again, we've decided to come up with another little list of things. So beginning with P, pick one thing to focus on. We chose Mark's Gospel and we decided we wanted our young people to really engage with the Word of God. We picked Mark's Gospel because it was only a short gospel. We thought it was easy for everyone to read it through and we decided to do it over a 6 week period. So pick one thing to focus on and then ask questions.
Okay, so asking questions. We asked ourselves questions. What do we want these young people to learn? We wanted them to be able to, in bite-sized chunks, look at some of the key encounters with Jesus in the Gospel of Mark. And we wanted to give them tools with how to read their Bible. So we did it in different ways, looking at it, picturing yourself in the story, or lots of different ways. So we did it in a different way every single week, but we asked them to read a passage. And we gave them questions at the end as well to talk and discuss with their family. And it was a very short section.
So we decided, obviously we couldn't meet our young people. It was during the lockdown. And we needed the help of our parents to engage with the young people. So to do this, we thought we'd help the parents by resourcing the parents. And we decided each week we'd make a little video we'd put out on Facebook. On our Source Facebook page, so the young people and the parents could watch a little video. And the video was only a short video, a few minutes long, looking at one particular story, one passage from Mark's Gospel, and actually we included different people by getting them to read the scriptures, inviting families to do the scripture reading for us, and then we showed that video of the family reading the Bible together, and then we gave a few questions for them to answer and to discuss. So we weren't leading the session, we were just enabling parents to be able to have a conversation with their young people about a story from the Bible.
Mm-hmm. And then we've got E for expectations. I think we've got to use language of expectation and partnership really at every level, that we were expecting them to go away and look at another story perhaps that related or fed into it. And then we would ask them questions about it when we met with them on Zoom. How did it go when you read that passage this week that we did? And we asked them about memory verses. So there was an expectation and there was a follow-up. And language, I think, is extremely important when dealing with teenagers and their parents. So a language that just is expecting them to be partnering with us.
And then next steps. Every week when we did our video, we would leave with some very open-ended questions, questions which would we hope would provoke discussion between either siblings or between mums and dads and the youngsters. So we wanted to make sure it wasn't just something you tuned into, listened, but it was something you could go away and carry on doing. As we said, we were looking at Mark's Gospel. We were only looking at certain stories from Mark's Gospels, but there was an expectation they were reading other parts of Mark's Gospel and they would carry on doing this and talking about it.
And then for tea, we've got team spirit. What we did, we said at the end, I think it's good to have a framework of things as well for parents. So it's like we're doing Mark's Gospel for 6 weeks and we're doing six videos. And at the end of this series, we are going to have a Zoom family quiz when they were all family quizzing. Okay, so it was great. We got whole families. We said, so they actually swatted up on it because the winning three families got a box of chocolates and we went round to their house and delivered them, took photos, celebrated it. We had some fun, but it was involving the whole family so they could help each other get the questions right. So that was really fun. So bringing some fun elements into it, I think really, really helps.
And S we've got for social. One of the things we said right from the very start was that we wanted it to be a natural thing. Discipling young people, and as a parent, it needs to be natural. It should be something we're doing daily. As it said back in Deuteronomy, as you're walking, as you're talking about things, as you're going to bed and getting up, it should be a natural part of our life. So we were encouraging families to look at a story from Mark's Gospel, but to do it at tea time. We found that during lockdown, rhythms of life got a little bit easier, and ourselves as a family, we decided we were going to try to eat together more often. So it was just a great opportunity to say, let's sit down while we're having tea tonight, let's talk about this story we've been looking at in the Bible. So it brought a social element in it. It was a social element between the families. So the mums and the dads and the children and the young people were actually socialising, but talking about the Bible and doing it in a very natural way.
Here's a few suggestions we're kind of grappling with at the moment. So some kind of suggestions and what we kind of filter our thinking through. And really our youth and children's programming, are they family centred? Are we honouring parents' time? Are we thinking about when we do it and pick up and drop off points? And are we really helping families with our programming? So filter that through when you're thinking about what you're doing with young people and children, and making it easier for families to spend more time together and not always apart.
And to give a real example from our own church, we've always historically run youth on a Friday night, and that's been because our church also started a kids club on a Friday night, and it was decided that even though it meant the building was very busy on the Friday night and it does stretch your volunteer teams, but it was also something which was very beneficial for families, because as they brought the children out to come to the kids' work, they could also bring the teenagers out to go up to the youth work upstairs. So it's being able to think about things in a strategic way, which is going to help parents to connect, help parents to be able to bring the children along to activities and to facilitate that. And also, if it's spread over too many nights, we found that families with two or three children or young people in them, you had one of them going to a dance class, another one going to football practice. So actually trying to fit church in was also hard. And we know church is a priority, but it's one of those things trying to negotiate. So look at when you operate your youth programmes and your children's programmes, see if it is helping family life. Another point was communication. Communication is so essential. We need to make sure we're informing parents. We need to let them know what we're doing and why we're doing it. We want them to journey with us as much as we want to journey with them. So make sure that you are communicating effectively with your parents. And some of the ways we've tried to do this over the years, we've invited them in to like a parents' evening where we've been able to sit down and talk about our youth vision. Other times we've had parents' meal where we've had a get-together after a Sunday morning service, and we've invited them to bring a lunch as well as their young people, where we can sit and talk about some of the things we're doing over the next term. Something else which I think is great to support parents is to get them to meet together and support each other. Parents are great at knowing what their needs are and knowing the difficulties of raising children. So actually, if you bring them together to pray, think about having a parents' prayer group or support group. That's one way of connecting parents together.
Another thing as well, it can be helpful to have a few books, just a little bit of a library of resources. You might even have a parent in your church that's just really great at that. Just try to find the skills of parents around you that can help you, and build really strong networks to support families in your church.
I know when we moved down here, we didn't particularly inherit a library, but we brought our own books, because actually as parents we wanted to do the best for our children, and over the years we'd found different resources which have helped us as parents. Now I know as a young youth leader or youth pastor, you might not know about those things, so it is worth looking at things which are there to help parents to parent the children, to disciple their children. So try and think of ways of building up a library of resources you can lend out to parents, and signpost them to different things. We have a slide coming up at the end where there'll be a whole list of websites of different ways which you can help encourage and support parents.
And I think something you can do as well, you're not a lone ranger working, there's children's workers, there's all sorts of people in the church, and I think working together with your children and youth teams and your lead pastor is essential with casting vision, and just make small changes, but small regular changes can make a big difference. So kind of work cohesively With your vision right across the board with your lead pastor can be really, really helpful, so that you're not just trying this on your own.
And also think about the struggling parents. I mean, we've certainly struggled over the years.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll carry on struggling from time to time. It's not always an easy task being a parent. Yeah. But think about the parents who might be struggling. Think about the different types of parents. Maybe it's a single parent. Think of ways you can draw alongside them, ways you can encourage them. Be proactive in that, because sometimes it's not always the parent who find it easy to stretch out their hand for help. So be proactive, be willing to ask, and be willing to listen to parents. Talking about parents, Rachel would like to share a few tips of what it's been like being a parent and a view of a parent.
Yeah, I mean, I think when Tim asked us to do this seminar, I said, well, you're a parent of teenagers and youth leaders, so you'll be good at it. I'm not so sure. But I think I can give a little bit of perspective and maybe some of the things that have helped us as a parent. First of all, as a parent of a teenager, what have I learned? I think having teens actually can be quite isolating. I think when our children were little, we were surrounded and we rubbed shoulders with parents all the time, you know, at playgroups, at the school gate. And I think that lessens as your children grow and change. And as they become teenagers, they're off with their friends. And it can be more isolating, and you can feel as though you haven't got the same influence as you did have when they were little. And in one sense, that's true. But I want to encourage all of you parents that are listening here. You are the greatest influencer of your child, and you always, always will be, even in the times that you think the kids aren't listening to you and they hate you. You are always the biggest influence in their life. So never give up. I know it can be very discouraging, but I just want to encourage each of you parents. You do have a massive role to play. And a couple of things I think we put in to our family early on was some really strong grounded values. I think for me and Hamish, we've always supported going to church as a family. It was something that we do, even if we didn't want to go, even if we were on holiday sometimes, we would go. Sunday, we meet together with other believers. We go to church. We really supported that fact. And I think that's really helped us put some big values in. And something that I think is massively important, and it is the key to discipleship, it's good modelling. Now, you might feel as though you have no influence in your child, but actually our children catch things before they are taught things, that they're watching us all the time, which is a really scary thought, because we all make mistakes and we all get it wrong. But if we can put some big things in, if we are people that are growing in our faith and that we put a high priority on the Word of God and prayer and demonstrating the life of Christ in our homes, that is massive for our children. So even things like how we use our money, we would share that with our children. You know, no, this belongs to God. You know, at tithing, how we used our money, how we treated people who were struggling, how we opened our home, how we showed hospitality, how we spoke about our leaders, how we make a point of not criticising leaders, and also modelling mistakes when we get things wrong. That has a massive impact on our children when we can apologise and put things right. We need to model the life of Christ for our children. And I think those values we put in place, just some real kind of, what do you call them, like structure, big bars.
Core values
that we put in. And I would say put them in the early years and stick to them in the teenage years. They will rebel. They will want to go off and find their way. But we are the biggest influences in our children's life. And I think we've got to be really natural with our children. Our kids aren't perfect. And our kids have made some mistakes. And as a parent, I'd really encourage you to... it's a great quote by Rob Parsons, and I can't remember it now. It's something about when things are going right... don't take all the credit. And when things are going really badly, don't take all the blame. As a parent, when your kids are making poor choices, you can feel so guilty and so bad about it, and you can be very self-condemning. And other parents can potentially look in and think, oh, my kids wouldn't do that. Never get into that. Let's be supportive parents. Remember, it is not all on us. And whenever our kids mess up, our teenagers, whether we're parents or whether we're youth leaders, remember, it's not all us to blame either. Discipleship is a process. It's guiding them. So I would just encourage you parents to hang in there with your teenagers. They will get through it. Put in some core values and have great people alongside you. I'm very grateful that we have made sure our children have connected with things and other parents. I think having other really supportive adults in your children's life is massive, and especially when they become teenagers. They won't tell you everything, but if I've got a trusted friend that they can go to, it's about this village raising a child, and the church can be a lovely family model that we can help raise one another's children and help spur one another on. So lastly, I'll maybe get Hamish just to say about how to be a blessing to your youth leader. We've been on both end of the scale, and it's been really tricky at times. So would you...
Yeah, and once again, it's something we want you to be building relationships with parents. As you build a relationship with a parent, you'll be able to help them disciple their children and their young people. And one of the things is actually we are on the same side, as it was said before. So as a parent, how can you be a blessing to your youth leader? And obviously, when you're talking to parents, this is a way of talking in a nice, natural way. It's not saying, oh, you need to be doing this. But we would say you want to encourage your kids to be involved. Get behind your kids. Encourage them to get involved with the youth programme, to get involved with the children's stuff. Because actually, by turning up and being there, that in itself is an encouragement to the youth leader. It's an encouragement to the children's worker. And it will help build consistency. It will also help the young people to build relationships, because actually we understand the social side of things and the social connection between teenagers is so important. So actually we need to encourage them to be there, and then by being there they have a chance of becoming friends with each other and taking part in this journey. So as a parent, we would also say support and encourage your youth worker. You might not always see eye to eye with them. You might think, in the case of us in the past, we've been a little bit sometimes disorganised and maybe a little bit slow with our communication. Be gracious to the youth leader. They're on a journey as well. So always be gracious where you can. Speak well of them. Speak well of them in front of your youngsters. Don't be critical of them, because actually children and young people will pick that up. If you have a critical tongue, they will see that. So get your children to be involved, encourage your youth leader, speak well of them, and if you do have issues, try to do that, not behind closed doors, but don't bring it out in front of everyone all at once. Pick a time when you can speak calmly and gracefully and actually talk through what the issue is before it gets personal or before it gets nasty. So be wise. Just as we were saying, we need to be understanding towards parents. And understand that parents often have more on their plate than we realise. We would also realise that actually as parents, we need to be understanding towards youth leaders and children's workers. They're sometimes juggling more things than we realise. And most importantly, partner with them. Partner with them in prayer. Pray for them. Lift them up. It's a biblical thing for us to lift up our leaders. And we should see our children's workers and our youth leaders as leaders. And therefore, we should be lifting them up in prayer. Praying for them. So make sure you're praying for the youth leaders. And actually, I would say it's a two-way street. I would believe all youth leaders are praying for their young people, but are you praying for their parents? Pray for the families. Like I said, we're not working in isolation, we're working as units. So make sure as youth leaders you're also praying for the parents, not just for your young people.
Okay. So as we conclude, we've just got a few questions for you, really, and I hope some of what we've said has been helpful. Like I said, we are working through this ourselves, and we don't have the answers. And we certainly don't say that just because one thing is working here, it will work in your context. Everybody's context is different. And what I would say is if you're not working in a with Christian families, we can still disciple those children. We can stand in the gap with our community kids. We can visit their parents. We can speak into their lives and hopefully see them come to faith in time. So what we do is really exciting. And it's also very challenging. So I hope it's just opened up a conversation for you to have in your teams about how we all do this better. This is something we're asking ourselves as well. We don't have all the answers, but we're going to just put some questions on the screen, really, just to, in way of conclusion.
In what ways are you connecting with parents and other ways to strengthen it? In what ways are you encouraging parents to engage with the content of your programme? How could you work with the lead pastor or your children's worker or youth leader to further enable parents to effectively disciple their children? Are there any resources, courses for parents you could make available? Are you building up a library of items? Are you willing to put on things to help with parenting? And finally, are we making time for our own discipleship? Are we accountable to someone else for our own spiritual growth? Because as Rachel said, we need to be modelling it. We need to be showing that we're being discipled in our own lives to be able to help and encourage others to disciple. So we hope you found this seminar useful. We hope you go away with at least the thought that actually parents are on our side. We want to be partnering with parents. Yeah. We need to be communicating well with parents, and we need to be building up a relationship so we can journey together. So we can expect to be raising up a generation of wholehearted followers for Jesus. So Rachel, would you like to pray for us?
Yeah. Okay, let's just pray as we conclude. Father, I thank you that you use families in order to raise children. God, I pray for the youth leaders, children's workers that are working so hard to be spiritual influences in young people's lives. I pray for the mums and dads that are listening in too. I pray that we will see young people raised not by programs but by spiritual mums and dads, Lord God. And I pray that we would be able to effectively help parents step up to this mandate of raising their children in the ways of God. Lord Jesus, we know that you will help us. And I pray for every youth leader, every volunteer team that is here. And we just pray that they would take away perhaps just one nugget, Lord God, that you can speak to them about and they can work out into their context. I thank you for every youth worker. They're doing an amazing job. And I thank you for every parent. And I thank you, God, that you are cheering them all on. So we thank you, God. Would you help what needs to be, what needs to stick? Would you help it stick? And the stuff that we don't need to hear, let it fall away. Holy Spirit, would you help us as we go away and think and discuss? Amen.